Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, we've discussed wild card weekend in the NFL, and we'll find out a little bit more of the picture tonight as the Cowboys take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Cowboys favored in that game, but it is Tom Brady. And it is the Buccaneers, and they'll have the game at home. So I'm interested to see how this one works out tonight. But the speculation on the future of Tom Brady has already begun. And yesterday, Ian Rappaport was on the NFL Network leading up to the wild card games yesterday and offered, I guess, his latest speculation slash reporting on Tom Brady and what his future could look like whenever his season in Tampa Bay is done. Here's what Ian Rappaport had to say yesterday on the NFL Network.
Meanwhile, on the other team playing in the Monday night game, Tom Brady is a free agent after this season, going to be 46 years old. And yeah, there is, I would say, a chance that he does not return to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, despite the fact that they very much want him back and plan to make efforts toward that. Among the teams that would consider Brady, a couple of them considered Brady last time. The Tennessee Titans still have some quarterback questions there. The 49ers, if they do not decide to roll with Brock Purdy, although he's certainly stating his case. And then the Las Vegas Raiders, who have several of his old friends, including Rich, Josh McDaniels.
So that was Ian Rappaport yesterday on the NFL Network saying among the teams that would consider Brady, should he make it to free agency, obviously the Bucs being very interested in bringing him back, the San Francisco 49ers, the Las Vegas Raiders, and the Tennessee Titans were the teams that Ian Rappaport threw out there yesterday on the NFL Network. So what do you make of that? The idea that maybe the Titans could be interested in Tom Brady. Now, I feel like we should point out there, like, there was nothing in there to me that suggested that Ian Rappaport was like, oh, so-and-so has told me that the Titans are interested in Tom Brady. Just kind of felt like he was throwing some teams out there. Now, look, Ian Rappaport, as we know, I mean, he's well-connected. He has conversations throughout the league. I'm not saying that nobody from the Titans is told him that maybe they would be interested in Brady. But what do you make of what he threw out there yesterday on the NFL Network?
Yeah, it's not much, but oh, is that some fresh bloody meat for everybody?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's. I don't know if he just threw him in because it kind of makes sense, because as long as Brady's in the league and Vrabel is a head coach of a team, whatever that team is, be like, yeah, if they have a quarterback question at all, yeah, Brady would make some sense, huh? Those guys, you know, had a lot of beers together over the years.
Yeah.
Or avocado tequila.
Sometimes
whatever.
They FaceTime each other.
Have a few darts, you know. But I wouldn't completely rule it out as a possibility. He's 46. He's still really good. Of course he is. Yeah. We get to watch him tonight. We'll see what he can do. The late season, because this is another thing where it reminded me of a few years ago when they had this choice, and I thought it was clear, like Tannehill's a better choice, because Brady looked like a guy who was his age in that 2019 season with the Bucks. A lot of this season, I felt the same way about him, but lately he's put some stuff together. He's still really good.
I think it's more about what's been around him this year than I do him.
Yeah,
like I think he's still got it. I think he's pretty good.
Yeah. It's weird because there were some games. It's like, oh, Mike Evans is wide open. How the heck did you miss that throw? You know, he's throwing some bad picks. But, yeah, he's still – like right now, if all things being equal, like easy choice, you just take him over Tannehill as your quarterback?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's me.
Yeah. I mean, I can't argue with obviously the – especially just the difference there is – yes, in the obviously the big moments, what Brady's done is unmatched, and Tannehill just hasn't, you know, done much at all. He hasn't had nearly as many opportunities, been on nearly as many good teams, but it's not close. So, yeah, that to me is the only non either go young or Tannehill.
Right.
Like all the other, you know, veterans out there. That are realistic. I know Lamar Jackson has also been discussed, and you know, until some of these things are resolved, people are still going to throw Aaron Rodgers out there. Although I think we've made it kind of clear, like it just doesn't really add up that could be even feasible.
No,
but Brady,
Well, he's going to be a free agent.
He's a free agent. Yeah, I mean, so it's certainly not like it's some you have to jump through hoops for this to happen.
Right. I mean, he's a free agent. Now, Tampa is going to make a push to bring him back. I have no idea if he wants to go back there or not. But the thing that stands out to me when I hear that list, and I'm trying to – it's a dangerous thing to do, but I'm trying to put myself in, like, Tom Brady's shoes. Like, think about the names that Rappaport just threw out there. The 49ers, the Raiders, the Bucks, and the Titans. Like, if I'm looking right now at the offense, like, the Titans would probably be fourth on that list to me.
Yes.
Like, the Raiders, I know they were bad this year, but at least you have Devontae Adams.
And Josh Jacobs.
And Josh Jacobs. I mean, the 49ers, I mean, they make a ton of sense. But, I mean, look, the 49ers could just, they might go win the Super Bowl with Brock Purdy. They do have Trey Lance that they drafted in the first round. Like, are they going to go after Tom Brady? I have no idea.
But if you're him.
But if you're him, that's, I mean, that'd also make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, it's where you're from, too. I mean, that's your home, and it's a ready-made Super Bowl champion.
Exactly. So, I just don't know right now that it makes a ton of sense. Like, thinking back to 3 years ago when he was a free agent and he decided to go to Tampa Bay. We were talking about, could he come to the Titans? Would the Titans be smart to do that? You know, the other teams that were in the mix, you know, where will Brady go? And towards the end of the process, like, Tampa kind of came out of left field, and that's where he ultimately decided to go. And then you looked at it, and you're like, okay, well, they had a really good defense at the time, and they had good playmakers on the offense side of the ball. Their problem was Jameis Winston threw 30 interceptions the year before. If you could cut that down, might be pretty good. And what did he do in his first year? He went and won a Super Bowl with that team. Like, right now, if you're the Titans, the only reason Brady would be playing at age 46 is, number one, he loves football, obviously, but number two, he's trying to win more Super Bowls. Like, what about the Titans offensively right now would make you think you could win a Super Bowl there?
Yeah. I mean, if you're doing a deep dive, I mean, you know, you're looking at the whole team, so you like the defense. If you're Tom Brady's fleet, of his big team of people doing research for him.
Yes.
You're like, okay, well, that's of those teams other than the Niners, probably, right? It's a very good defense, but certainly a better defense than the Raiders have. Treylon Burks has potential. Your buddies with Vrabel. they're very unlikely to win. And I think a lot of people seem to think that he is going to go to the Raiders. We'll see. That's one of those, could he elevate a team like that? There is some big-time pass catchers there for sure.
Yeah.
So if they were able to have a good offseason and shore up some of the deficiencies, that could be.
Well, Josh McDaniels is there, and you know, we can think what we will about Josh McDaniels as a head coach, but obviously Brady likes him, and they had a good relationship for a long time. So
they screamed at each other
sometimes. On the sideline as well, but yeah, Brady screams at everybody, apparently.
That's
so
true. I mean, I need a situation where he's a quarterback here and he and Vrabel go after that.
It would be so awesome.
And then, like, give each other, like, a little trophy or something.
It would be incredible.
It'd be a dream. But, yeah, I'm with you. I don't know why he's picking that at this stage of his career. He doesn't have time to mess around with a team that's trying to be decent.
Yeah. Like, it feels to me way less realistic this time than it did last time. I mean, even last time we talked about how I didn't think it would happen because Tannehill was just coming off the great year. They had just beaten Brady in the playoffs. And you're like, man, if Tannehill plays that way, it'll be fine, and that'll be the decision. And I don't know if the Titans ever legitimately had a shot at Tom Brady last time or not. You know, we could talk about it and go round and round on that all day. But it just feels like, even though, I mean, there's some connections that you could make, namely Brady and Vrabel, like, it just doesn't feel like it would make a whole lot of sense from his standpoint this time.
Yeah.
And then if you are the Titans, I mean, he's 46. He'll be 46 in August. Do you want to go that route for a year or two and try to keep the window open? You could. I mean, if you're running it back, would you be better served to go do it with Brady than Tannehill? I don't know. But could you also make the case to, if you're not going to run it back and change quarterback, go find your quarterback of the future?
Yeah, because more, again, all due respect to Tom Brady, okay? All due respect.
The Pharaoh.
Yeah. The most likely scenario, if he did come here, without knowing all the moves they're going to make, I'm sure they're going to be able to fix some of their issues on offense, but it probably wouldn't be that good of a year. Like, he's great, but he's 46 and he can only do so much. And it's in particular, and I think this is a lot of the issue this year, and they're in the playoffs because they're in a garbage division.
But yes.
When you don't have protection for him, yeah, it's not great right now.
Now, he did throw for 4,700 yards and 25 touchdowns this year.
Sure. He's still good. Don't get me wrong. But if you, I think he needs, at this point, a great situation, and I don't see how he could come to the conclusion that this is one of those.
We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. What do you make of what Ian Rappaport, the NFL Network, threw out there yesterday of maybe the Titans being interested in Tom Brady? Should he reach free agency this offseason? We'll have more on that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Preds fans hang out before the Preds games at the Superbook Lounge and Landshark Bar and Grill, Margaritaville on Broadway with 1025-1063, The Game. Place your bets with Superbook and enjoy great food and drink specials. Plus, enter for a chance to win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Got a lot of home games this week. Tonight, taking on the Flames. Tomorrow, against Columbus. On the road against St. Louis on Thursday, and then back at home Saturday night against the L.A. Kings. So a very busy week for the Nashville Predators coming up this week. We'll have Preds Pick to Click coming up a little bit later in the show. Right now, taking your thoughts on Tom Brady on our text line, phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network putting it out there that the Titans could be interested in Tom Brady should he make it to free agency this offseason. Aaron in White House on the text line says, I think Brady's likely to go to the Raiders. They seem to want to go in that direction with McDaniel's history with Brady. And to that point, you know, Derek Carr is not going to be the quarterback of the Raiders next year either. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Like, the Raiders make a ton of sense for him, obviously, for them. I mean, they've got a roster where you're paying Davante Adams big money. You've got Hunter Renfrow in there. You've got Josh Jacobs. We'll see if they pay him. And you've got Waller at tight end. I mean, it's an offense that is built to win right now with the money you're spending. You bring Brady in there, and the hope would be that he could elevate you to the next level. I still think, you know, I don't know how much I trust Josh McDaniels as head coach based on the way that's gone in two different stops so far. But you bring Brady in there, you could see where that offense could be pretty good. That's, I mean, I just go back to, like, if you're Tom Brady making this decision, I don't know how you would pick the Titans over a couple of these other teams that would be interested. Just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
All right. You can still go to the Kentucky Derby with Vrabel.
You can.
In the spring.
You can.
Yeah.
Maybe they will.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. Now, if the Titans, they get a GM in.
Yep.
They get an OC in, and I don't know, I guess you could say, Tom, would you like to pick, you know, the OC? Yeah. Have some tampering, Vrabel, some FaceTiming.
Yeah.
You know? And make a bit, but seriously, make a serious bit of, like, we're going to do this. This defense is, you know, look at this defense. This defense could be championship-level defense, Tom. Wouldn't you like to you know, play on a team with that defense? You could try. But I think if I'm Brady, I'm like, yeah, Davante Adams, Darren Waller.
Yeah. Well, and the one that I still, you do have Trey Lance that you drafted in the first round and got hurt this year. And Brock Purdy is in the middle of a playoff run right now. I'm not saying that the Niners wouldn't take Tom Brady, because maybe they would. But, like, if they were interested in him, I don't know why he wouldn't be interested in that with the roster that they put together.
Yeah, it's like, obviously, if they lose here coming up and maybe Brock Purdy looks like Mr. Relevant at some point,
yep,
quarterbacking. And I don't know with Trey Lance. I mean, I have no idea. I didn't think he was all that great before he got hurt.
No.
And I think the Niners have looked better with both Jimmy G and Brock Purdy at quarterback than Trey Lance. You put a lot into him as your future. But if Purdy falters and they are kind of moving toward being out on Trey Lance, well, there's your opening.
Tom in Brentwood says, not sure how much of an effect this would have, but where do his ex-wife and kids live? If they're still in Florida, California is a long way away. This is from Tom in Brentwood. Not to be confused with Tom Brady in Brentwood. We don't think.
Or is Tom Brady in Brentwood right now?
Maybe. Not yet.
Looking at schools. I don't know.
It could be.
I don't know that he isn't. Yeah, I don't, that's a good question. I don't know. I mean, I think they have homes in, you know, Belize and
several places.
Yeah, Aspen and yeah. That, but yeah, that's a fair point. But you know, you also have off seasons, and it's not like this is a long term thing.
Yeah,
I don't think.
I mean,
Brady's going to sign like an 8-year deal, stay with the Raiders till.
He said a few weeks ago, retirement's the last thing on his mind.
Yeah.
He could be 52 out there slinging the thing around.
Really glad we had this huge retirement crap for you last year, Tom. When he actually does retire, there shouldn't even be a single tweet congratulating.
Just wait.
Him, okay? Yeah. He's already had his going away
party. And just wait to make sure he's serious this time. I think we could be a ways off from that, though.
I guess, yeah. Yeah, how much does tonight matter in that? I mean, they could make a run. I don't think they will. I think they're pretty bad, pretty average.
Their offensive line is horrible.
Yeah, and their defense isn't as good as it was. But, you know, like if they get – well, I guess either way, even if they get bludgeoned tonight – that doesn't mean he's going to decide to hang it up, right? It all seems to be pointing toward him hanging in.
It seems to be pointed that way. Now, look, I mean, there's a lot of things to keep in mind with him. I mean, think back to the Stephen Ross, Miami Dolphins ownership part of this last year that was
player owner
on the table. Like, I don't know. Could that be back on the table this year? I have no idea. Like, there's a lot that's interesting about Brady. If you're the Titans, I understand if you want to run it back and you want an upgrade at quarterback. Like, if you want to upgrade at quarterback without Lamar Jackson being an option, which maybe he is, but until he's actually gone from the Ravens, I don't think he's an option. Like, if it's not going to be him, Brady's about the only option that's realistic, I think, that you have. Like, Derek Carr is not an upgrade to me. I mean, Jimmy G's not an upgrade to me. I mean, Brady, as a free agent, would be the only option you have on that front. Unless there's a trade you can make that we're not thinking of right now, which seems far-fetched.
Yeah, and I can't even I can't think of it. But yeah, I agree. The car Jimmy G stuff should die. There's no point. I mean, with Tannehill, you have. I mean, there is something to be said for continuity. And again, I don't think the quality of quarterback is really different. I think they're in the same exact tier there. And Brady is just, you know, what he's done. He's still really good. I'm with you. I mean, he's had some really good performances down the stretch here. So it's amazing what he's doing. I don't think he's making that choice. So I do appreciate Ian Rapoport throwing the Titans in there, though.
Well, the other part of this, though, is also like Tannehill. If you move on from him, you got to cut him. And there's dead money that comes along with that. So how much dead money are you willing to pay Ryan Tannehill and then go sign Tom Brady to a contract? Like, what's Brady playing for if he's coming here?
Cap's fake, Robbie.
Yeah.
Cap. No one thinks about the salary
cap.
Just
saying.
Doesn't exist.
There is according to Over the Cap, a $17.8 million dead cap money that comes along with cutting Ryan Tannehill if that happens.
18.8, actually.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 18.8. Excuse me. I read 18.8. that
18.8. Yeah. Yeah. So you're saving, you know. So you're saving 17.8 if you do it, but you got 18.8 in dead money. Yeah. And what is Brady's, like, what is he going to sign for?
Does he want a 2-year deal? Does he want a 3-year deal?
I mean, yeah, obviously it comes down to, like, you know, what's the guaranteed money, but, like, what's the cap hit for Brady?
I don't know. I mean, Rodgers is going to make, like, $55 million next year.
Yeah.
Does he want that much? I mean, he has always been a guy that, quote-unquote, has taken less
right
to have more around him. I mean, I guess that would remain the same here, but you're still talking.
It's ample.
$35, $40 million, right?
Right. On top of the what you – so just on quarterback then, you know, you're going to go from, you know, cap hit of 36.6 for Tannehill. So you'd go, let's say 18. So you'd go from 36.6 to, like, let's say about 58, 55 million. You know, I mean, whether you want to believe it or not, like, you do have to be, like, you can kick the can on a lot of things, but it does make it more difficult. You have to then adjust elsewhere. You still have to make the number. And so you would restrict yourself somewhere else.
Dustin in Hopkinsville says, like Ian, I've already heard Brady's living in Vrabel's pool house. Maybe so. This could be fun.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun with it.
I mean, the last time this saga took place, I mean, Tom Brady was reportedly at one point like touring schools over there in like NBA or something, wasn't it? Which it turned out to be like Steve Hutchinson or somebody,
right?
Didn't it? Yeah. close enough. It's Brady.
Does Steve Hutchinson look like Tom Brady?
I don't think so.
Now I'm Googling Steve Hutchinson. So,
just saying, there's a lot of fun rumors that could come around with this time around.
Oh, sure.
I'm here for it again. It was your favorite time of doing radio a couple of years ago. We could revive this thing with Brady.
Dude, Steve Hutchinson doesn't even look like he could be Tom Brady's, like, uncle.
Yeah.
Like, wow. But tall.
Yeah.
But Brady, I mean, Steve Hutchinson's like 6'6", man. Yeah. Well, we had that. We had Aaron Rodgers real estate last year. So we'll have.
Let's get another quarterback of something going on around here. It's good stuff.
Yeah. People like coming to Nashville.
Yes, they do. 615-737-1025. We'll take more of your thoughts on this as the show continues. Coming up next, we'll get into Tennessee's loss to Kentucky over the weekend and a big win for Vanderbilt basketball as well. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We'll have Corey Curtis from News 2 coming up at 8 o'clock. Right now, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, you were there on Saturday for quite the atmosphere inside Thompson Bowling Arena. Tennessee playing Kentucky. Tennessee had been rolling 14-2 heading into the game, undefeated in conference play and number 5 in the nation. They retire Chris Lofton's jersey at halftime of the game. Big day in Knoxville. And then the Vols come out with a bit of a dud in the game on Saturday against Kentucky. They got out to an 8-0 lead, and I thought for a second that they might just run them out of the building in that game, and then Kentucky settled in there. They started to play some good defense, and Kentucky gets the win 63-56 on Saturday in Thompson Bowling Arena. So first off, huge win for Kentucky and John Calipari and company. Impressive win on the road. Maybe that's kind of the springboard that they need for the rest of their season here. We'll see how it plays out with Kentucky. But what did you make of that one on Saturday? Disappointing result on a day for the Vols where not much getting done offensively out there.
I think my biggest takeaway was Calipari's press conference in which he you won't get this reference, but I will forever call him John Boy Calipari now. Do you get that reference?
I don't think so.
No. Yeah, this is definitely a showing my age moment. The Waltons, for anybody of my boomers and even some Gen Xers like me, the Waltons, very popular show.
I've at least heard of the show, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And so basically at the end of the Waltons, it's like this, I don't know, it's like a late 1800s, it's like Depression era family drama. Anyway, at the end of like every episode of the Waltons, like, good night, sister.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, good night, John Boy.
Yeah,
you turn off the lights. Okay. Anyway, Calipari said that he's not listening to what any of the haters are saying about him. And he just watches like Alaska shows and the Waltons.
I was there,
like,
you go.
All right, good. He also said like, you guys, he's looking at his media, all the Kentucky media, including Twitterless Kyle Tucker. He's like, all those bullets and arrows you guys sent in my way, I got bazooka holes in my body. I'm like, wow, that's some imagery right there.
Yeah, it is.
But all due respect to Kentucky, big win, and Oscar Tshiebwe is great. The Tshiebwe-Plavsic battle was
good. It was fascinating.
They don't like each other very much.
They do not.
But all due respect to them, it's a huge win for them. It's such a downer for Tennessee. Like, such a – I mean, it was – to me, it was the exact same game as the Michigan game, which was Tennessee – the difference being Michigan did something to say, go ahead and take open threes. We don't think you're going to make them, and they didn't. But in this game, they took the same basically shots, even though Plavsic could have, like, scored 30 on Tshiebwe. He couldn't stop him. And they just stupidly had all these terrible possessions – where they're just jacking up threes and like it's,
they went 3 of 21 from three.
3 of 20 from three. They were I'm gonna get these numbers up here.
Couple open layups.
Yes. Well, they're blowing layups left and right for sure. I mean, poor Zakai Ziegler, who I still think played well, but like, man, he had one breakaway where I think he thought, you know,
he heard footsteps.
And obviously he's like 5'7", but like, dude, you're alone. Just make the layup. He had a rough day, and that's what I'm saying. Like, he had a rough day, and Olivia Kamwa had a day where, like, he didn't box out, and Rick Barnes takes him out of the game. Beginning of the first half, doesn't box out, gives off a rebound. Rick Barnes takes him out of the game. Rick Barnes puts him in for Plavsic late, which I was like, that's an interesting move. Yep. Comes in, Tshiebwe gets a free throw offensive rebound, put back on him. Okay, Kamwa come out of the game. Yeah. He has had one of those terrible days where, like, he'll be fine. That's a learning experience from him. But what I worry about with this team is – Those three guys, they're leaders, they're veterans, and I know Ziegler's just a sophomore, but they're really the heart of the team. It's Ziegler, it's Josiah James, and it's Santiago Vescovi. Okay, so those three guys. Here's the numbers. In this game, they were 9 for 33. They were 2 for 15 from three. In the Michigan game, they were 11 for 29. They were 1 for 15 from 3. Like, if this is what you're going to rely on in March, it's not going well for you. I'm sorry. You know, now they're going to have games. They're going to have a game coming up soon where they're going to be a combined, like, 11 for 15, and yep, they're going to be great. But this team has to – they have to go to their strength, which is – Plavsic is actually becoming a good post player. Kamwa to the rim. Julian Phillips, who basically was taking this game with foul trouble – get involved, slash, go to their – you have to, they're big, they're athletic, and you can't be that reliant on the three. So that, to me, is – that's the project they have to work on here in the next 2 months.
I actually thought with the lineup Kentucky was forced to play with in this game due to some injuries, like they had to go a little bigger. I think that helped them in this game. Like, yeah. I think it kind of forced them to be like, all right. And, you know, Calipari was talking about this. They were talking about it on the broadcast, like – you got to be ready for basically a fist fight. And that's what that game – it was a rock fight out there the whole game.
Yeah. And I agree with you. And, of course, I know Kentucky fans, and you – I mean, I don't know. You want to cut Sevier Wheeler now? Is he
I did see some of that.
No.
He will never play again.
No. Well, he is – I think that him – do you remember when Rick Barnes at the beginning of the year, maybe when they were in the Bahamas, said – you know, Zakai Ziegler was absolutely out of control with the ball.
Yeah, oh yeah.
That is what I want to say to Sevier Wheeler a lot of times. So I see similarities between those guys, and sometimes they're great, and when they drive to the rim and you're like, what the heck are you doing? And it goes in, it's like, oh, okay. But I like Cason Wallace better at the point. I know Sevier Wheeler is a veteran, but he just gets a little out of control out of there sometimes, a little selfish.
Well, also, he's small, and he can't really shoot from outside that well. He can get wherever he wants, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's good when he makes it, but
right.
I actually like this lineup they were forced to play with. And C.J. Fredericks finally was able to shoot the basketball, so that's also great.
Well, they defended really well. I mean, look, this is a game where you're talking about – we're talking about how bad Tennessee shot. They shot 40%. Kentucky shot 35%.
Yeah.
I mean, it was Tennessee's defense was about where they always are in terms of holding teams – to a low shooting percentage. Problem was Kentucky got to the line, and unlike Kentucky's done for most of the year, they made pretty much all their free throws in this game. They're 22 of 25, and they were 65% coming in.
I mean, it's, you know, the thing about this game is the pressure on Tennessee was obvious. And again, this is where you just get a little, you're like, man, these guys, you know, like pressure. The NCAA tournament, you think about it. I mean, Everybody thought they were going to blow Kentucky out. Like, whenever they play Kentucky, it's always a huge game. It's always packed in there. But it's always like, wow, can they beat Kentucky? Kentucky's great. Can you beat Kentucky? This is like, Kentucky sucks. So you're going to blow them out. Oh, and by the way, Chris Lofton's getting his jersey retired, so you sure don't want to screw that party up. So it was massively on their shoulders. And, yeah, they played their basically their same D. But then the underdog gets to, like, they have those Frederick making shots. Well, Reeves making big
Anthony
plays.
Anthony Reeves, yeah.
And then
topping.
What did he end up with? 18 Reeves? Something like that. And then they hit their free throws like the underdog. Kentucky gets to be the underdog in a game. And that's where this season has gone. And they made up the gap with some of those things. And then Tennessee just didn't handle it well. And it's just I still think Ziegler is he's a great point guard. I mean, he still creates shots. There are limitations, you know, with his height, but I think he's fine. You know, it's just like James and Vescovy are just like, they're such important players. They're such great guys, leaders, all that stuff. But if I'm Rick Barnes, I don't want them taking that many shots.
Yeah. Well, I'll say this, as you both know, a casual observer, I came away from that game thinking, I mean, this team's really hard to trust. They're really hard to – until I see it when it matters, they're hard to trust.
Well, and in March, you need great guard play. And I feel like for this Tennessee team, and I'm not throwing shit, like last year, Kennedy Chandler, you could be like, okay, if somebody needs to take over a game, towards the end of the season, you felt confident that Kennedy Chandler could take over the game.
Yeah.
Whereas this year, there's not like one specific dominant guard player who you feel like, okay, we can count on you to get you hot and be able to take over a game.
I agree. And the thing is, Michigan – he was completely dominated that game. Michigan went zone, said, he's not getting the lane anymore. Let James, Vescovy, let them have wide open corner threes. And if we lose, we lose. And guess what happened? They didn't make a damn single one of them.
Yep.
And you make two of them, and you win that game. So I agree, though. It's like they don't have the guy who can do that. I don't think Phillips is going to become that guy, but I think – what you do is you go inside. That's where they can
plot.
Have the edge on most people.
Yeah. I mean, he's 7'1".
He's pretty good.
I mean, Oscar's 6'9". They could have had anything in there, and I was very happy that they didn't.
Right. Like, whenever they went to it,
he took 11 shots.
Right.
He should have had 22 shots in that game.
Without question.
Just keep going to it.
I was on press row, so it was David Pascal from Chattanooga. It was a poor guy who had to sit next to me. I'm sitting there seriously like, what are you doing? It was mind-boggling how stupid they played.
Joe Vanderbilt, a big win on Saturday, 97-84 at home, taking down Arkansas, the number 15th ranked team in the country. I did not see that one coming, but Vanderbilt gets the win on Saturday, wins by 13 against Arkansas. Big win for Jerry Stackhouse and the Doors over the weekend.
I mean, they go to Missouri, absolutely could have won that game over a ranked team on the road. They go to Tennessee, leading at halftime. You know, they lose by 9, but they gave them the best game they've had until Kentucky beat them.
Yep.
But still, it was impressive given the way Tennessee's played. And then they just thump Arkansas. Arkansas's banged up, but still, Arkansas's a top, even in the current construction of Arkansas's roster, they're a top 25 caliber team. And I watched the whole second half of that game, you know, in the press room at Knoxville, and they just absolutely obliterated them. I mean, they're so much better now than they were, in a month ago. It's remarkable, and it's impressive. And it also, it's like you watch this team's like, that team is actually like an NCAA tournament quality team, but they're not going to make the NCAA tournament because they screwed up the beginning part of the year too much. I mean, and maybe I'll eat those words, but they're going to have to be on an amazing run to have a chance. It's too bad because – that's an NCAA tournament caliber team. I watch him play now. Like Liam Robbins, people can't
see good.
Jordan Wright is playing so well now. He was hurt and bad, you know, early in the year, really struggling. So we'll see. Maybe they can make a run at it, but I think it's going to be the same kind of story as last year where it's like, man, if they just – and last year was more about injuries, but it's like if they can just figure out a way to start better, they're going to have a chance to do something.
Yeah. But a big win nonetheless.
Big win.
97-84 for Vanderbilt against Arkansas on Saturday. 615-737-1025. We'll take more of your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 745. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Gonna get to you, girl. Step by step.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Joe Rexroad, the floor is yours. I turn things over to you.
Thank you very much. Wait a minute. What is this that Michelle just sent here? Wait, is this you? This you like?
Watch, that was me.
Oh,
my
you
home.
Tweeted this. You tweeted this. Okay. I'll have to watch this as I prepare to rant. I won't rant about this, but I'm just really glad that you decided to look at look
She's
at
back
that.
On
look
the track.
That celebrating. Is that Ryan from, is that Ryan from Chicago?
Yeah, I cropped him out.
She was down and out last week. She's back in there today. A rejuvenated Listen, Michelle
Knesebic. It was a little reverse psychology, maybe.
How many of BBN, Big Blue Nation, how many of you have rehired Calipari?
A lot of us.
I think a lot.
I would
fired,
hope everyone.
Fired and rehired.
Listen, I would just like to say, that video coordinator and grad assist, great game plan.
Yeah.
Great game plan.
Yeah.
Did a great job.
That's the thing, man. So talking to Kyle Tucker, who isn't on Twitter, sometimes listen to the show, though. You know, he had this mailbag about Kentucky last week that went nuts. And, you know, including that detail that, like, the assistants apparently don't work. They're just recruiters who
just
don't
hang
work.
Out.
What? And also Calipari and the AD don't talk. So that's always a good thing. So
what about he and Stoops? Do they talk anymore?
Well, I guess it sounds like Barnhart and Stoops against Calipari, I guess.
So.
Is that what it is? Yeah, I don't know. So
that'll go well.
Still could be
I
interesting.
I plead the fifth on what I know about that.
All right, well, I want to complain today about officiating the NFL. But this came up because I'll begrudgingly cite an Adam Schefter report, but it was an interesting story. If anybody missed this over the weekend, I guess it came out. Did it come out Friday? I guess it came out Friday. So all these executives in the NFL, he says not affiliated with the Rams or Lions, which is important because if it's just like Lions brass complaining, then I don't really care. But apparently a lot of people are upset about the officiating the Lions Seahawks game, which of course, or I'm sorry, in the Rams Seahawks game, which of course made it possible for the Seahawks to win. They get the playoff spot after watching them play in the playoffs. I don't know that the Lions, you know, would have been any more interesting, but the Seahawks weren't up to it. But it was a horrifically officiated game. Like the roughing, the running into the kicker, or whatever, was seriously like a guy who kind of got pushed, and then he sort of brushed him with his butt. And then that was the play that basically won the game for the Seahawks. There were other ones too, like the Ramsey thing. There were bad calls. But here's the thing: I hope that we have another one of these this week. I still am I'm enraged because I don't see people talking about it like that. The not calling an illegal block in the back last night on that touchdown for the Bengals. Again, I have no dog in the hunt here. Bengals, Ravens, whatever. I was glad we got a good game. That was an incredible play. Well scripted, you know.
Yeah.
Jump up in the air and we're going to pop it out and Sam Hubbard will be right there. Perfect. Perfect execution, guys. All these bodies smashing into each other. Perfect execution.
You're going against our agreement right now. We're supposed to be
I know.
Not talking about
my,
the refs.
I just lost my bonus for
January. I know.
Joe's we're getting fined.
My NFL conspiracy bonus just got cut in half. But like Mark Andrews, we just watched the replay again. He was going to make the tackle. Actually, I think more around the 20-yard line.
20-yard line.
Right, yeah. Around the 20 or 15. He was absolutely going to tackle Sam Hubbard. He was gaining. And he gets shoved in the back. And it's the officials hadn't caught up with him, but you don't need to be level or in front of the play to see a guy push a guy in the back and him fall down. A guy who's about to make a tackle on a touchdown in the playoffs to win the game. What are we doing here?
It's clear as day. And it's right in the numbers.
And it's, again, I go back to speaking of the Rams, you know, the Rams Super Bowl that still is like, it's just an absolutely unforgivable blown call in the Rams-Saints game a few years ago. Like it doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up other than, well, let's talk conspiracy. You know, when I talk conspiracy with officials, I think of, you know, one particular official maybe – having you know, financial stake in something. Now that, you know, I'm open to the discussion, because if you think that people who put large sums of money on games don't think about fixing games with officials, well, I mean, we already know that that's the case. That's been the case in the past. So that I will be open to. But regardless, it's got to get better. So this big push that's based on the Rams-Seahawks game, and by the way, so here's one source told Schefter, told ESPN, that the NFL must do a better job of screening, hiring, and training its officials. The league can't have games which team seasons are on the line, have questionable, impactful calls, such as the one in the Rams-Seahawks Week 18 game. I'll take this to the officiating at large, because I think these things can both be true. There is nothing worse than parents or just observers at like Little League or Rec or any of these games who yell at officials who are out there making $10, and it's hard to do. It is hard to do. It's hard to do. Of course, it gets harder and harder at the highest level, right? But you have to be better than this. I've said this with college sports, and it's way worse in terms of investment, because you can't even make a living really doing it, and that's ridiculous. You're so important to the games, you should be making more money in college athletics. But at this level, again, you have limitless funds, basically. Pay more for training, incentivize good calls, punish bad calls. You have to do more here, because you got to figure out why someone would swallow their whistle on a play like last night. I know it's early. It just happened last night, but I don't think we're talking about that call nearly enough.
No one's talking about it. Like, I'm sitting here looking around. I mean, it's a clear block in the back. And like you said, look, as long as you have the human element in the game, there are going to be missed calls, right?
Of course.
I mean, we know this. It's a fast game. Whatever you want to talk about, the NHL, the NBA, NFL, whatever you want to talk about, it's fast game. So you're going to miss some calls. But you can't miss the totally obvious ones that everybody in the world can see.
On the biggest play of the game.
In the biggest play of the game. And you brought up, I mean, the ultimate example is the one from the Saints and the Rams in the NFC title game a few years ago. I mean, that can't happen. But even one like last night. Do the Bengals score a touchdown after that? Maybe. But, I mean, you're talking about Hubbard running the ball into the end zone, scoring the touchdown, and if you call the penalty, they got the ball on, what, the 30? I mean, it's right. A different game there.
Yeah, I mean, they're probably getting points out of it, but the way the Ravens were playing on defense, yeah, I mean, that's a pretty decent chance you hold them to 3. And then at the end, while John Harbaugh is just completely not understanding how clocks work,
yep,
you know you got the tying field goal. I mean, it's incredible. And again, I don't understand why that one. Well, what are people not seeing on that? He pushed him in the back,
yeah,
and stopped him from making a tackle
in an open field where no one else is around.
Well, right. Not only in an open field, but an open field where all eyeballs are on. Like, that's where the ball is, and you're the official. I understand. I kind of joked about this earlier. Like, it is. You got old man officials out there trying to run 98 yards, so you're trying to catch up.
That was funny
at
to
that
watch.
Point. It's pretty funny to watch. But like you said, you don't have to be exactly even with them there to see that there's a clear push in the back on that play. And you just can't have it in the playoffs. And look, if it happens in the regular season, are we talking about it? Probably not. I mean, it's probably not a big deal. But in the playoffs, like, you can't have those games. And what you said, I think, number one, I'd like to see a little bit more clarity on into exactly to how the process goes. But the rewarding / punishing officials for the job that they do. You know, we always hear about, well, so-and-so has been reprimanded, and then they're back out there the next week and they're officiating. Like, well, what does that mean? Like, what's going on out there with the way that y'all handle this process? And, of course, you know, heaven forbid anybody actually talk to the officials. Like, nobody wants that. I'd like to see more clarity on how that goes.
Yeah, look, it's got to change. You know, someone tweeted at me this weekend, like, well, see, gambling and, you know, but basically about gambling officials. And my response was, you think gambling's new? And the response was, no, but, like, there's more of it. And that's true. I mean, I think some people would make the case that because this is all way more out in the open with gambling, that there should be, maybe you have less underhanded stuff that would go on. But to me, then you have to have more accountability. We know what players and coaches get fined every week.
Yep.
We know why would these people who are critical to the outcome, one holding call can change the outcome of a game. Why would these people who are absolutely critical of the outcome of games not also be publicly accountable and we know exactly what the stakes are? They have this, the mindset that they have with officials, I understand some of it because, I mean, look, I mean, it can also be dangerous to be an official at this level. So, like, I'm sensitive to that. But more accountability, public accountability. And also, like you said, you know, we've been talking about it forever. You got to be able to explain things. The pool reporter for 2 seconds, which I've been that person in the NCAA tournament, and it's just like, you know, I mean, it's like, okay, come on in. Okay, bye. You know, no. They can answer 5-6 questions about something. I mean, it's ridiculous that they wouldn't.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Corey Curtis from News 2. We'll get his thoughts on Wild Card Weekend and the latest on the Tennessee Titans as well. That's coming up next. Make sure you tune in later this morning at 8:45 for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click and win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game. Pick to Click brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Visit TJAndersonHomes.com to see why they are referred to so often. And Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.